Hi, welcome along to The Fringe for this Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning. Nice to have you listening in. The very last one of our own is on this evening from 6:30 until 7:00, featuring Grace O'Sullivan from Tramore. So we're looking forward to hearing that. She's an Irish politician, of course, working as an MEP since July 2019. So that is to come. But first of all, this evening's feature, our one feature, is Waterford Music Involved. A chat with Chris Faulkner about his On Scene Happenings audio-visual piece. It's on at Garter Lane. He's on the I know. Hiya, Chris.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. So tell us about this. Well, first of all, a bit of your background in music. How did you get started and what are you into and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, what's really interesting is I've been playing for 17 years in some capacity and releasing music, but my first gig, both that I played at and also the first gig that I attended, both happened in Garter Lane. So there's some sort of funny circularity after happening here where I'm back doing a piece for Garter Lane. But when I was a teenager, I played in a few bands. And then when I was in college, I was in a relatively successful band that was in a few national bits like Hot Press and played a few national festivals and things. That kept going for ages. It's one of those names, retrospectively, is not the coolest sounding thing in the world, but they were called Ghetto Amaretto, and it was kind of a dance rock band kind of a thing. Yeah. We used lots of effects, but we just stuck to the core members of a drummer, a guitarist, a bassist and a vocalist,
right,
trying to make the sounds that you make with synthesizers with string instruments is probably the best way of kind of describing what we were like. And then when we all kind of finished college, we all ended up going our separate ways, quite literally. Like, one of us went over to New York, one of us spent some time in Asia, and then two of us were kind of at the opposite ends of Ireland as well. So that kind of fizzled out. It was a great thing to be part of, but I started Waiting Space then in its place as just something that I did by myself sitting at home, mostly starting with laptops, and then I slowly accumulated a little home studio. So I was a vocalist in the old bands that I would have been in, and doing Waiting Space gave me a chance to start working on other types of instruments I never played. So I started getting into production, and it just became this kind of bedroom project that grew from what was just meant to be a bit of a pastime to keep myself sane into something that I kind of keep going in the background outside of my work job now. And it's great. I get to do projects. The Scarlet Lane project is the third kind of project I've done for a gallery of some sort. I've been commissioned to write a few musical pieces during the lockdown times for virtual walkthroughs of other galleries like the Loon Gallery up in Athlone and things like this. So this kind of ties back in as well. I have a visual art background. I would have studied art history and history of architecture at college too. So it's great to get back into the gallery world in some kind of capacity as well.
So what would your main instrument be, Chris?
Well, that's the funny thing. Like, historically, it would have been vocals, but when you become a one-man band, you kind of have to figure out how to do things with other instruments. So I suppose now it's probably a mixture of vocals with keyboards. But the great thing about Waiting Space is it's kind of this genreless project. So something that I never would have done before is that I do lots of instrumental work. So when you remove the vocals, you really have to find what replaces that. So it actually frees up a lot of space sonically in songs for adding in kind of extra details and synths and things like that that normally the vocals would have taken that slot in the mix, we'll say, kind of a thing. So mixture of synths and piano would kind of be probably the most obvious piece of instrumentation in my work at the moment, I'd say.
And I suppose you have to be fairly techie too, it sounds to me, like, you know, when you put together stuff like that. But there is the technology there now to do a one-man show, which you are doing in Garter Lane.
And that's it. And like, the whole thing is that you have these options between, you know, laptops, between how cheap some of the they're called audio interfaces, which are the things that you record through onto a laptop, how cheap those have become. And even if you don't have a piano or you don't have a guitar and things like that, if you get yourself a thing that's called a MIDI keyboard, which is essentially, it looks like a piano keyboard, but it doesn't have any sounds on boards. It's just like a keyboard for typing on your computer. So you use that to type in the notes on programs, say like Logic or Ableton or something like that.
Yeah.
So even if you don't have the instruments to physically to hand, you can have these virtual instruments that if you work on making them sound right, they're just as good as the real thing as well. And that's brilliant because, you know, it's so much cheaper. I mean, you could get a cheap laptop, a cheap MIDI keyboard for the price of maybe say like 500 to 600 kind of a thing, and you can write anything on that, you know.
That's incredible. Well, as they say, every day is a school day, Chris, because I always wonder what a MIDI keyboard was. That's what it is. That's incredible. So you can actually write a song and put the dots and whatever onto your piece of A4 from your MIDI keyboard. It'll transfer the music.
That's it. And like, I mean, you can also just type them in on the computer. But if you're someone who's grown up playing instruments in some way, having the immediacy of using a piano just makes it that little bit quicker. And it also means it's a little bit more human, because one thing about when you're writing on computers is you can often end up writing a little bit too much to the grid, and they kind of lose that humanization. So if you're still playing in those notes on a keyboard, you'll get the humanity to them, where, you know, the keys played don't exactly line up and things like that.
So what's the mechanic of the courtyard calibrations piece that you're doing? What times will it be on, and what will it look like? How will that
so
work?
It just kicked off this last Tuesday, the 8th, and it's going to split up into two pieces. So traditionally it was mostly focused on the audio aspect, where Garda Lane would play the song in the courtyard itself, and my musical part is going to be played at 1:05 and 5:05 Tuesdays to Sundays for the whole month of March, I think. And then I got invited to make a kind of a visual component to accompany it too, because that's one of the big parts of my general waiting space project, is that I actually make a visual component to every song I make. Mm-hmm. So I asked Katie Flynn from Haboo Studios in Waterford. Katie's actually my girlfriend, so there's a bit of a personal relationship there, but Katie's an amazing photographer who was working in Australia for a while and in Spain, and during COVID she set up a company called Taboo, which makes homeware pieces using kind of design elements. But she's also got this background in photography and film, so I asked her would she help me film it, because I'm grand at filming but I'm not as good as she is, kind of a thing. So I kind of came up with the key ideas that I wanted to do, and Katie filmed them. And what the video ended up being is I was given the theme of light at the end of the tunnel when Garda Lane invited me to make the piece. And I mean, there's very literal things you can think of there when you've got Garda Lane's actual archway, which is almost like a tunnel. Yeah. But after the last couple of years we've had, I said that I'd make something that kind of is kind of moves along slowly with a little bit of relief at the end, to try and kind of reflect the fact we're just at the end of this, you know, pretty harsh time that we've all experienced, that I don't need to explain, that we all know about it for the last couple of years, but particularly culture places which were closed down for so long. So I wanted to make a piece that kind of slowly grows. It starts off a little bit solemn, and then it gets into this kind of outbreak of sound. And then the accompanying video also breaks out to an accompanying splash of colour, because I made a projection that I splashed onto the surfaces of Garda Lane. So it goes from this dark, moody nighttime shots of Garda Lane to these same spaces filled back in with colour as things begin to reopen again.
Great. So once again, when can people see that?
So it's every 1:05 and 5:05 Tuesdays to Sundays for the month of March in Garda Lane Arts Centre. This piece is just going to be played back on the system in there. But no, yeah. I've played live as bands for a number of years, and as waiting space has actually only been a handful of projects, because trying to figure out how to play live as a one-man band has been its difficulties. But I was playing most recently in the Theatre Royal back in September, and that was a great night, because it was one of the first gigs after lockdown. So that was fantastic. Like, I'm looking forward to getting back to playing more gigs as well, as everything kind of comes back to life at the moment.
Yeah, I think people are really enjoying it too. We were just talking about it the other day. Just since people have been able to go to a gig, we realise how much we missed it. It's great.
And that's it. And I can tell you that gig in September, the elation and the people who normally wouldn't even have seen me, to be able to play to them was a gift. But to be able to play to them in that moment when they were getting to see live music for the first time in so long was amazing.
Great. Chris, thanks a million. Lovely talking to you. All the details are on the Garter Lane Arts Centre website, which is garterlane.ie. And it's all there. And that's Chris Faulkner. Chris, thanks a million.
Thanks a million, Jeff.